We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trevor Bauer apparently has one of the balls he threw in yesterday's game for the Dodgers is being inspected by MLB for a foreign substance.
Yeah.
So there you go. I guess he pitched pretty well yesterday.
Yeah, he pitched into the seventh inning. They actually pushed him, which I liked. That was the thing that impressed me the most. He ended up throwing 110 pitches. Think about that.
There you go.
110 pitches, which I loved, and they let him try to get through the seventh inning. He couldn't, but pitched a hell of a game. And then, of course, the game ended in Fugazi extra inning style. The A's actually won. But Trevor Bauer's nasty, right? He has nasty stuff. And I think what we're going to have now with these new rules is any time there are pitches that feel too nasty,
they're going to check them.
They're going to check it out. But it doesn't mean he's necessarily done anything wrong, in fairness. We'll see.
People are telling me that the guy Michael is the guy that sent me the letters, the color-coded letters. I think that's what it was.
Oh.
Hey, Mike, are you the guy that sent me those color-coded hate letters?
Yes, I am that person.
Oh, you're calling in today for what purpose now,
yeah,
sir?
Yeah, I didn't think I'd have to be on hold so long. I had to cancel my colonoscopy appointment.
Oh. Well, listen, sorry to hear about that. I'm very sorry to hear about that.
And I know Evan's got to be happy now. He just tied it up.
Yes, he did! Hold on one second.
Yes,
let me check
he
that.
He did!
Who's that?
Jeff McNeil! But let's hit him seventh. Bomb! 400 plus feet? We got a brand new shiny one, folks. I was always confident. I always knew this feisty, hungry team would come back, and McNeil got a 3-1 pitch from that overrated loser, Anthony Bass, and he parked one. Yes!
You gave up 4 innings ago.
I didn't give up. I was nervous.
You said the Mets were not going to win this game. You gave up 4 innings ago.
I didn't give up. I wasn't confident, but I feel good.
Now you feel good.
Let's just win it now so we don't deal with extra innings. I don't want to deal with it. I think it's dopey. I think it's stupid.
What place in the order did McNeil bat today?
Seventh.
Kind of hard to argue now, isn't it?
Seriously?
You just got tied the game for it.
That's the game you're going to play? The game you're going to play.
You're
going to
be
is,
critical of it now, aren't you?
Jonathan Villar has done nothing. He's 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts. I mean, it's not like the guy who hit 6th ahead of him has produced. What are we talking about?
What are we talking about?
And you know
about?
What I love? Jeff gave it one hell of a bat flip. Is that okay, baseball purists? Are we okay with that? Sorry, I'm just feisty now.
Here's George in Bay Ridge on the fan. George, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking my calls, guys.
Thank you.
Evan,
of course.
You just stole my thunder. I was in support of hiring Luis Rojas after we had to move on from Beltran. But for a guy that's on a hot seat, he made a lot of head-scratching moves already. You have the best pitcher in baseball. You take him out of 74 pitches. You just said Trevor Bauer pitched 110.
110.
I'm going to ask you a question. I just have curiosity. I'm going to ask you a question, George. George, if I may. And I don't know the answer. I want to get your opinion on it at Evans, but individually, okay? Do you think that Luis Rojas made the lineup that they're using so far this season, meaning McNeil batting seventh, without consultation of Sandy Alderson?
Well, then why have him as a manager? Might as well have a puppet then.
Well, I mean, a lot of teams do. a lot of teams do. So that's my question. Like, do you think he decided on his own?
You know what?
I'm batting McNeil seventh.
I think the Yankees, it's clearer that the front office makes a lot of calls. I'm a little bit unsure about that with the Mets. I think the front office has a lot of input, but I don't necessarily know who made the decision to hit Jeff McNeil seventh. But here's what I
do
know.
But do you think it was a move done by himself, full autonomy, honestly? Do you really think that?
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Who, for the last 3 years, cumulative last 3 years, who was the Mets' best hitter?
For the last 3 years? McNeil.
3 years. So now you bat him sixth and seventh. You don't bat him third.
Yeah, no, no. But that's my point. That's why I'm asking the question.
Well, I want to make something clear, and people can disagree with me for this. This is fine. I have a problem with Jonathan VR hitting ahead of him, not with Jeff McNeil batting seventh. What I mean by that is if J.D. Davis was healthy and performing like the J.D. Davis from 2 years ago, I'm good with it. In fact, I wrote down last week my lineup, and I jokingly said to Luis, hey, let's play a game where I guess it.
You gave him the first four. He agreed with you.
Yeah. I actually had Jeff McNeil batting seventh. The difference is, and this is just my opinion. I'm not speaking for all Met fans. My issue is with Jonathan VR hitting ahead of him, not the idea of him hitting seventh. J.D. Davis, if, again, he's performing, I get it. I understand splitting up the lefties. Like, I get the point. And that's what Luis is going to say to us when he joins us. I'm splitting up the lefties. I understand it. There's a three-batter minimum now. I get it. The problem is Jonathan VR stinks. That's the problem. And I don't mean to be blunt about it, but I am. I know he's a major leaguer. He can't really stink, Evan. He's a great... I get it. He's a major leaguer. He's not very good compared to other major leaguers.
Yeah.
And my issue more so than maybe with other Met fans is who's hitting in front of them more so than just a blanket statement.
I think both teams are making mistakes with their lineups. I don't think the Mets should have Aaron Hicks batting third. I don't think the Mets should have arguably their best hitter batting seventh. You know, if you gave me the stats that, you know, whoever bats leadoff, for example, gets about 80 or 90 more at-bats over the course of an entire season,
yes,
than the guy that bats third, how many more at-bats does the guy batting third get over the guy batting seventh?
No, he gets more.
Got to be 100
more. But here's my question to you, and I'm not going to make you do this on the air because, A, I think it'd probably be boring and you wouldn't want to do it. Write down your ideal Yankee lineup.
I don't have a pen.
Okay.
Can someone get me a pen, please?
Get him a pen, please.
Oh, there's one over there behind the monitor. Straight.
Oh, I see.
There you go. All right. You want me to write down my...
Yeah, give me the Yankee 9, assuming everybody's healthy.
The Yankee 9.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. It'll take me 1 second.
I'm just curious. Beat it out.
I got no problem. I'll give it to you 1 second.
Right.
All nine? So I get a DH in there?
Of course you get a DH. We're talking about the Yankees.
Just asking what are the questions.
We're doing the Yankee lineup when they happen to be playing in a National League ballpark.
I'm just asking the questions, that's all.
It's a very stupid question.
That's a stupid question?
Bro, I'll give you the nine, all right? Clint Frazier.
No. Can I write mine down first?
I'm not giving you the lineup. I'm giving you the nine players to choose
from. I got
the
nine. I'm writing them down right now.
I don't know. You just asked me, do I include the DH?
I want to make sure I get all nine.
What a dumb question.
We have a universal DH, right?
No, there's a DH in the American League.
There's no DH, you're saying. Okay, fine.
No, there is a DH. It's
the
Yankees.
Nah, there's a DH.
It's the Yankees.
Make up your mind. All right, I got mine right now. Ready?
What are we talking about?
Here we go. Here is my nine.
By the way, I find it funny when someone calls up to give their own lineup. Craig's like, this is so boring. Oh, my God. But Craig's going to make it exciting, so let's hear it.
Yes. Mickey Rivers, Derek Jeter, Joe DiMaggio, Lou Gehrig. Do I need to go past that or no?
Yeah, because I think this is a mess so far.
You think that lineup's a mess?
Yeah, because I haven't heard the rest of it. Keep going.
You think that's a mess?
Where's Babe?
I don't like Babe Ruth. He didn't exist.
Oh, okay. Well, there's your mess.
Babe Ruth didn't exist.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Then where did that letter come from of him sending something to his
woman he's sleeping with? 500 years after the guy was alive, a letter to a mistress appears?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, it's
Please.
A real thing.
Give me a... Let's stop... Turkey, cold turkey. All right, that's ridiculous.
So hold on, Lou Gehrig existed, but Babe Ruth didn't.
I saw the speech from Lou Gehrig.
What about Babe Ruth's speech when he had the throat cancer?
Today, I consider myself, the luckiest guy.
They named unfortunately, ALS is named after Lou Gehrig.
I understand, but you never saw Babe Ruth
doesn't have that.
He has a speech. He made a speech when he couldn't barely talk. Unfortunately, he was very sick at the time.
Actors.
What do you mean actors? That was Babe Ruth.
Fergazi.
Who hit in front of Lou Gehrig?
Hmm?
Lou Gehrig was a real guy. Who hit in front of him?
Guy named Bill?
No, a guy named Babe.
Did you know that the Babe Ruth bar was not named after Babe Ruth, the baseball player? Did you know that?
Yes, it was named after...
Baby Ruth.
Yeah, it was named after a president's daughter.
That is
was
correct.
Was it Harry Truman's daughter? No,
sure.
It was before that. It had to have been before that.
A lot of people think that it was Babe Ruth. It was not.
Which the president's daughter? William Howard?
Sure. The first chocolate
Woodrow
bar
Wilson?
Named after a baseball player was actually the Reggie bar.
Right.
And I thought the Reggie bar.
Grover Cleveland. My bad. Grover Cleveland.
The Reggie bar was delicious. I wish they'd bring it back. It was like part Reese's Pieces, part chocolate nougaty goodness. Yeah, I love the Reggie bar. Yo, Tommy, call Reggie Jackson up for me real quick and see if he's got any cases of Reggie bars left.
I think he's got them.
He might. I want to buy a case of Reggie bars from Reg.
You know
what? Can you find out about
that? You may be right, and Reggie may have it. You know what?
I
have
would
at
not
home?
Be shocked if he's got it.
I have at home
frozen Charleston Chew.
No, I have Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts M&Ms. So if
from
I have
the Super
that,
Bowl?
Yeah, from the Super Bowl.
Yeah, from the Super Bowl. From the Super
Bowl. From like 9 years ago.
That was wasn't that the Super Bowl at the Giant Stadium?
Yes. Yeah. You probably have Boomer and Carton M&M's.
They gave us so much crap back then because we did our show from the M&M place in Times Square.
Right.
I got little like Boomer and Carton M&M characters.
Ah.
Then they gave us our own personalized Boomer and Carton M&M's.
So do you still have them?
No, I ate them all.
You ate yourself?
I ate every one of them.
You ate your head.
I think the there was like a caricature thing done of me and Boomer as M&Ms.
Yes.
I think I might have those.
I remember that. They
That's
did
possible.
That for Joe and I, too.
Yeah.
They even did that for the little midday show.
You know, we had two in-person guests that week that stand out because we had a bunch, apparently, because
right.
of Super Bowl.
Yes.
We had the former Hannah Davis, now known as Hannah Jeter.
Right.
She came by because we were friendly with her.
That's pretty impressive.
And we had Jerry Seinfeld.
Wow, when he liked you.
When he liked me, yes.
I remember two guests from that Super Bowl week, too, and they couldn't be more different. Larry Fitzgerald, Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Yep.
And I don't know why I remember this. Chuck Schumer.
Chuck Schumer.
Yeah, we had Chuck Schumer on. And he didn't like me because I was pressing him on some tough questions.
Chuck Schumer.
I forget what I was asking him, but he like gave me this look of, I thought this was a sports interview. And I was like, yes, it is, but.
I'm How does the guy Rudy Charles say the Reggie bar is horrible? The Reggie bar is delicious. Is Reggie on the line, Tommy, or no? Do you have him on the phone yet? Do you have his number? How do you not have Reggie Jackson's phone number?
Is that a common number that people have?
Do you want me to give you Reggie Jackson's number?
You have Reggie's number?
Yes.
Who doesn't? Apparently just me.
Reggie used to call me all sorts of times a day and night.
What would he talk about?
And he would, it was fascinating to me. He wasn't calling to talk to me.
What was
he
doing?
He was calling to vent and kind of like talk at me.
About what? Life? Baseball?
Life, social injustices.
Yes.
Money, cars.
You know what?
Race. It was fascinating.
He had a discussion with Beningo two spring trainings ago when we were down there, and it was very similar. Like, it was Reggie just talking to Joe. Well, actually, he wasn't talking to Joe. He was talking at Joe about the world. Like, he was breaking down everything. He was breaking down the world.
Yeah.
And Joe the whole time is like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Couldn't get a word in because Reggie
just kept
talking.
No, there were times, like, because, you know, he was out in California. I'd be driving into work like 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning. So it's like 11 o'clock night.
Right, right, right.
Out in L.A. And he would call Carton. And I'd be like, Reg. Like, so strange. Like, to me, Reggie Jackson's calling me, right?
Right.
And I'd be like, what's going on? And I wouldn't say another word for a half hour.
And then he would talk?
And then it'd be done. He's like, and then he'd end it with, how's your family? Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Dude, when he was talking to, this is a true story. When he was talking to Joe, he's talking to him for 25 minutes, just babbling on and on about stuff. Joe leaves. This conversation ends. He says to another guy, I was just talking to Francesa, right? And the guy says,
I had no idea.
No, that was Joe Beningo. He's like, oh, who's that? I thought I was talking to Mike Francesa.
Right.
So he's having a conversation thinking he's talking to Mike the whole time, and it's Joe.
There you go. See that? Well, 427, Carton and Roberts on the fan. And we'll give you an update on the Mets in a bit. We have Aaron Boone coming up in a half hour. And later this afternoon, after the Met game, Luis Rojas will join us as well. Do I have time for a call here or no? Yeah, all right, why not? Here's Milton in Brooklyn. Milton, what's good, Cookie?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
What's up?
Guys, you guys are incredible. Listen, talk about no-hitters and going to them. I was blessed. I went to a lot of games.
Yep.
I was at the Dwight Gooden no-hitter.
Oh, nice.
I was actually the Dwight Gooden no-hitter, little nugget. That was the first game back after the original Cowbell man died, Ali Ramirez.
Really?
That was the first game back. We were all emotional, crying. They had and it was just incredible for that night to be a no hitter. And the
you
other
know,
one
I would say
I went,
this. I would say this real quick. I would think that is the only game where diehard Met fans were rooting for a New York Yankee starting pitcher.
Speak for yourself.
It was.
diehard Met fans loved it.
Yeah, you could speak for yourself.
Fully supportive of what Dwight Gooden was doing.
Okay, whatever.
After being suspended in 94.
It was a great story. It was a great. And Conforto just struck out with the base.
I know! I'm watching the game. What are you going to give me play-by-play, Milton?
Michael
Thanks.
Conforto struck out with the bases loaded.
Wait a second. They're saying
he got hit by the pitch.
They're saying he got hit by the pitch.
What? And the Mets win!
Second, how do you get hit by the pitch? It was a strike, Milton.
I think it hit his arm. They're going to look at it.
They're going to replay it. Look at Don Mattingly.
Milton, I got to let you go on that for a second, buddy.
What?
So, Conforto struck out with the bases loaded to end the game.
To end the inning.
To go to extra innings. And now they're saying that Conforto got hit with the pitch?
I didn't see a strike? I didn't see any way that ball hit Conforto. I have no idea. I'm looking at a replay right now.
It's right down the center. Conforto puts his elbow into the ball. That's illegal.
Yeah,
you can't call that. By the way,
I'm sorry.
The ball doesn't hit him.
Well, I don't know
I think it glances.
You got to review that, right?
Well, but wait a second. There's two issues here.
Yeah. That's going to be overturned.
Hold on. Let's calm down. Did it hit him?
I don't think so.
I think it did.
The problem is it's a judgment call of the home plate umpire to say, wait a second, you didn't make enough of an effort to get out of the way. That's a judgment call.
Not just that.
I do not believe that is reviewable.
Not just that. Forget about getting out of the way. The ball's right down the middle. He moved his elbow into the ball.
I understand,
no
but
then I don't.
I'm watching it. I've seen it twice.
But wait a second.
He put his elbow in the way of that ball.
I agree.
And I'm not positive the ball hits him.
I think it glanced off of him, but here's what we need to find out. Can they review a judgment call from the home plate umpire? Now, if they're reviewing, did it hit him or not, fair game.
There's no doubt he put his elbow in the middle of the plate to get hit.
But Craig, I don't think that's reviewable.
I don't think the ball hits him.
Well, that's a different issue.
They're reviewing it right now. But wait a second.
They're reviewing did the ball hit him. They're reviewing did the ball hit him. They can't review the judgment call of it.
They gave him the run, I think, Ev.
The game is over.
The game is over. They gave him the run.
Because, Craig,
he reviewed it.
Listen to me. I want you to listen. They can't review the judgment of if he moved his elbow in. That's a judgment call. I don't think they could review that. I think the only thing they can review is, did it hit him or not? Did it hit him?
I don't think it did, but they think it did. The Mets have won the game.
Yes.
The Mets have won the home opener in the weaseliest fashion possible.
Oh, shut your mouth.
Wow.
The weaseliest.
That is as big a weasel move, and you got to love it if you're a Met fan.
I'm thrilled.
Because Conforto is being struck out, no two ways about it.
Strike three.
And he moves his elbow into the strike zone to try to make contact with the ball.
Yes.
And now, I think it's debatable if the ball hits him.
That's the only thing they can review, Craig. That is unbelievable. Find out right now from MLB. I'm going to try this. Loogie, call MLB. Confirm to me my initial thought, which is they can't review did he move out of the way or not. The only thing they can review is did it hit him, yes or no. So those are the two issues. You admit it's close. I can't tell.
So I think the ball moved.
I think it hit him.
On the pitch, which is definitely a strike, the umpire's initial call is that it hits him. But Conforto doesn't act like it hits him.
Yes,
he moves his elbow into the way of the ball. The ball never touched him.
Yeah, so when the umpire signaled
in that view,
hit him,
don't you agree the ball doesn't touch him in that view?
I think the ball touched him.
So you know what's amazing about that?
What?
We're both looking at the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Both being honest and objective.
Yeah.
We both agree that Conforto clearly moves his elbow into the flight path of the pitch.
Yes, the umpire should have called him back.
I agree. There's no debate on that.
Yes.
And yet we're looking at the same video, and you think definitively the ball hit him.
Well, I'm not sure that it did. Definitively is a very strong word, but here's what I think. You can see the baseball slightly move, and that's hitting him. And they can't review what Ron Culpa should have done. He's the home plate umpire.
What a terrible job by the umpire there.
Absolutely.
Gave the Mets a win. Good for you.
Ron Culpa should have said, look, didn't make enough of an effort to get out of the way. In fact, you actually moved your elbow in. I'm calling you back. That's an umpire's discretion.
There's two things. If you don't make an attempt to get out of the way, that call goes against you. But you also, there's another rule. You can't purposely put your body in the path of the ball.
Ron Culpa should not have allowed him to go to first base.
Is there a rule that you cannot be hit by a pitch that's in the strike zone?
Well, but wait a second. Let me clarify this.
So if you're looking at it and you determine that ball's in the strike zone, can the batter be in the strike zone?
So here's the thing. I made a mistake. So did Craig.
What's that?
We thought the umpire signaled strike three.
I did, because he does make a motion first, but it wasn't that.
I think he was gonna.
Well, but he didn't.
No, he didn't. He didn't go all the way through with it. Yeah.
He signaled immediately, that hit him, you're going to first base. I was dead wrong. I thought he was signaling strike three because it looked like strike three. So that's you're making that judgment, which I am too.
Right.
But the umpire's judgment was it hit him.
Right.
And the problem with the review now, and again, confirm this because I'm pretty confident, they could only review did it hit him or not.
Yeah.
He can't review did he make of enough of an effort to get out of the way. I believe that's unreviewable, but again, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't see Lugie on the phone with MLB. I'm sorry to morph into Craig right now, but literally confirm this because I'm going on confidently, but I do leave that percentage.
Well, that must be it because the umpires clearly went to a review because we saw them with the headset on.
Right.
So they went to review something. So something was reviewable, and to me it's got to be, did he or did he not get hit by the pitch?
Right.
That's got to be what they reviewed.
And it hit him.
Because you don't have to, all you have to do is look at it once, and it's obvious that Conforto purposely moves his elbow into the flight of the ball.
And
so that's not up for debate.
And remember, he's wearing an elbow pad, which sticks out even more.
Now, what's weird is that I don't think the ball hits him, but the umpire must have heard a sound of the ball scuffing up against that elbow pad, because the flight of the ball never changed either.
Oh, I think it did. I disagree. I think it hit him.
I don't know.
I don't think that, to me,
there's
controversy.
There's that one video from behind the pitcher where it does not look like it made contact.
I don't think the controversy is, did it hit him? I think the controversy is, did Ron Culpa, should he have, and I think he should have. I say this as a Met fan. No.
Culpa
messed
up.
Go to first base.
Culpa screwed up regardless. Now, if the rule is you can't review it, then he made a bad initial call. Here, I'm watching it again right now. Comes in, and the umpire's initial call
hits him. He's all over it, like Culpa.
But he doesn't make the call that Conforto purposely put his elbow in the way of the ball.
He's making the call immediately, and it's,
I don't think it hits him. Ever.
And it's just off the plate, too. Like, it is very close to a strike. Like,
I think it is a strike.
No, I think it's a strike, but I'm talking about that overhead view where you can see the plate. It's like a centimeter off the plate. But the Marlins should be pissed off. I'd be pissed off.
They just had, it's a tie game, so there's no guarantee they win it. But the umpires just stole a game away from the Marlins and gave a victory to the Mets. So if you're a Met fan, good for you. Listen, make no apologies about how you win games, because a month from now, and whatever their record is, no one's going to say, oh, but remember that game against the Marlins?
No, because there's
also... So take the W and enjoy it.
It's a chump move from Conforto.
It is a chump move by Conforto, yes.
Why is it a chump move?
But if he's on your team, you love it.
Because he realizes 0-2, he's not going to get on base. He tries to put his elbow in the strike zone.
Hey, C-Mac, have you watched Michael Conforto hit recently?
I have. I've watched every Met.
If you were watching a Yankee player loss of the... Let's use Aaron Hicks as an example.
Yes.
And he did that, you'd celebrate it saying, hey...
I would celebrate the win, and I would say it's a chump move.
Well, look, he's a mess right now.
Listen, it's a chump move.
It's a chump move, but you love it and you take it.
It was a terrible call. I'm the first one to tell you. Ron Culpa should have had the guts to say, I'm not letting you go to first base. The ball was basically in the strike zone.
Hang on. Now, Steve was listening on our sister station to the game. So let me see what his take on it is. Stevie, what do you got, buddy?
I thought he had swung because Howie said he struck out, and you clearly heard two clicks. So I thought it was a foul tip into the glove.
No, you know what the two clicks were? Hitting the elbow and hitting the catcher's mitt. I think that would basically prove it hit him. He's right.
Yeah, again, we weren't listening to it. We don't have the benefit of that, but we'll get the sound from our sister station at 80.
I'm telling you, it hit him. That's not defending the call. Culpa shouldn't have let him go to first base, but it hit him. It was a glance. It hit his elbow pad, which kind of adds to the chump move narrative C-Mac will have, but
Mets did something weird in celebration. They ripped someone's jersey off.
Oh, that's been done before. I'll never forget it. The Michael Conforto no-shirt game. It actually has a name. Against the Nationals on a Friday night in 2019, when Todd Frazier hit that game-tying home run off Sean Doolittle, and Conforto got his game-winning hit
a line drive into the right field corner. The Mets stripped Michael Conforto naked.
Yeah, well, they just, was it Conforto?
Yes.
I could see who they were just doing it to.
Well, I think it was Conforto again. But Conforto had it the first time on the game-winning hit against the Nats. And look, I have no issue with the Mets celebrating. They won the damn game. They were losing going into the ninth inning. I get how it ended. It shouldn't have been called that way. But Jeff McNeil had to hit a home run to tie it. That had to happen.
Turns out, I'll say this, that's a great win for the Mets. Even though it's a chump move and Weasley and all that stuff, it's a great move, and here's why.
I have the radio call if you want to hear it.
Yeah, all right. So here's Howie Rose on the radio.
Yeah, just a short pitch.
Go ahead.
1-2 the count. Guillorme, not too big a lead at third. Bass to the belt. Now the 1-2 pitch. Breaking ball in there. Strike three call.
It hit him.
And they're saying it nicked him on the arm. The game is over.
Who's the other voice there?
It's Wayne Randazzo.
Oh, is that Wayne? Okay.
Yeah. Wayne's saving him. It hit him. It hit him, Howie.
See, but Howie's calling it. I didn't hear two sounds.
You do. Play it again. You can hear it. Yeah. Listen carefully.
I think you do, too.
Go ahead.
Listen.
1-2 the count. Guillorme, not too big a lead at third. Bass to the belt. Now the 1-2 pitch. Breaking ball in there. Strike three.
I mean, it doesn't matter anyway.
And they're saying it nicked him on the arm.
Yeah.
The game is over.
I mean, that's a weird way to win a game, but we'll never forget it. Trust me, if you are one of the 8,500 people at Citi Field, 8,492, a lot of opening days run together. I could say that firsthand. This is going to be one, not just because it's limited amount of people there. You will never forget the Michael Conforto sticks his elbow out game, but also the Jeff McNeil game because he did hit a game-tying home run.
First home game in the Steve Cohen era is one... on a questionable play?
Yeah.
Bad sportsmanship by the Mets? Sure, but who cares?
Bad sportsmanship.
You take the W anyway, you can get it.
Why would you even say that?
Well, it's not good sportsmanship.
Sportsmanship?
Yeah, but I love it.
Oh, wait a second. Stepping into a pitch to get hit is bad sportsmanship
now? No, it's the Lupus play of all Lupus plays.
It worked. The bases loaded.
Lupus, take one off the shoulder for the team. Okay, nutter butter.
I mean, who cares? He got the job done.
I agree.
That's all that matters.
I would love it if it was my team. Let's go, Mets.
With that said.
Let's go, Mets. F-A-M-doo-doo-doo.
Well, it's changed now.
It is?
It's Let's Go Mets. Wait, what do they do now?
Let's Go Mets. Doop, beep, doop. Like that?
They take out the F-A-M.
The Mets won their home opener yet again. Yet again.
Thank God they won. Let me be honest with you. My sense now is it's sinking in as relief. It's not even, I'm pumped up. And it's not just because of how it ended, the weirdness of how it ended. Thank God they won this game because this was a disaster. They couldn't buy a hit with runners in scoring position all day. They actually finished 0-6. They left a million guys on base. Thank goodness they won the game. Thank goodness Jeff McNeil, batting seventh, hit that home run, his first hit of the year. And thank goodness Michael Conforto got hit because, let's be honest, this game goes into the 10th. I didn't even know who was warming up. Were they going to Jairus Familia?
Were they going
to Aaron Loop? Who knows?
Someone should acknowledge my main man, my favorite Met for the season. Brandon Nimmo leading off today, 3-for-5. He's now batting .429 on the season. And he's made every defensive play but one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He recovered on that fly ball to center field early in the game.
Give my boy some props.
Who's not giving him props?
That's my guy.
And Spring is dealing with two injuries, hasn't seen the field yet.
That's true. Right. And they're concerned that initial injury is something else now.
Well, if you were watching the Met game or listening to the Met game, welcome to your unofficial Met postgame show. It's Carton and Roberts as the Mets take the W, showing a poor sportsmanship.
With the poor sportsmanship.
But I love it.
Look,
you
Michael
love
Conforto
it.
Stuck his elbow out.
That's right.
Culpa should have called him back. I'm the first to admit it. Baseball's got an issue with replay. We should address that because I'm telling you, they were unable to review Culpa's decision to allow him to go to first base.
Looking at the rule book, you're right about judgment calls. I'm assuming that would fall under a judgment call, but they cannot review judgment calls.
They only were reviewing did it hit him. And if Ron Culpa was being honest with everybody.
So you're saying that although it's obvious to all of us that Conforto clearly, purposely put his elbow in the way of the ball, which was a strike, that even though we can all see it, it's still a judgment call by the home plate ump to say that he did.
Yes.
The home plate umpire. And that is not reviewable.
The home plate umpire has a right to say no, not happening.
Bad job by the home plate ump.
How is that?
I mean, it's so obvious that he did it. And I'm telling you, Evan, they just showed it in slow-mo again. I don't think it hit him.
No, it did hit him. That part I think you're wrong about.
It barely grazed him.
MLB instant replay rules, calls involving whether the ball was in the strike zone when it touched the batter.
Thank you.
And whether the batter made any attempt to avoid being touched by the ball is not reviewable.
I'm telling you.
That's the rule.
See?
Thank you, MLB.com.
No, thank you, me. I told you that 10 minutes ago.
Thank you, Evan.
You didn't fully believe me.
Well,
but you
because you asked us to look it up.
Did SNY give Evan credit for breaking it first?
Stop it.
They should. Reported by Evan Roberts 20 minutes ago.
I was 95% sure. I did leave the percentage of maybe I got it wrong because we are talking about replay, which is so flawed. I mean, let's face it. MLB review and all sports reviews in ways have flaws. What we witnessed today is a flaw because if Ron Coppola was being honest, he would say, wow, looking at it again, I should not have awarded Michael Conforto first base.
And looking at it for the 19th time, he starts making a call of strike three, you're out, inning over. That's his initial move. And then he transfers from strike three to, no, hit you on the elbow, take first base, game over. What? You'll see it.
Yeah. It is a strike, by the way. I would have called that a strike.
It's a dead strike.
It may be a little high, maybe a little bit high.
That's strike.
But I would have called it a strike.
So congratulations to Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets, who has just won his very first home game as owner of the Mets.
Yes.
There you go.
Thank goodness they won this game.
Thank goodness they won the game.
Phew.
How about that?
Yes. Hmm. Good win.
Crazy, right?
Good win. They somehow won the damn
game. Good win. That's a great win.
It's a win. That's what it is. Now the offense needs to wake up. That's the bottom line. Now the offense has to start hitting. Because look how they scored their runs today against the cavalcade of no-name relievers. Give me a break.
And the Met bullpen did its job, too.
What?
The Mets bullpen did its job.
Oh, yeah. Miguel Castro,
Trevor
May. There's a little
shaky here and there, but they did their job.
We are clearly seeing who Luis Rojas trusts. Castro and May are clearly the guys who he wants to go to in close games. And obviously, Edwin Diaz in the ninth was fine. Retired the first two guys, walked the guy, but got through it. But yeah, the Met bullpen did its job. Taijuan Walker did its job. The story of this game was the lack of offense from the Mets. And it could have cost them. And luckily,
Story of this game is Conforto putting his elbow in the flight ball. Yeah,
yes, that's
the story of the game. That and the McNeil home run.
Right. What I meant was,
Be positive.
I am positive. They won.
You're such a negative Nelly.
What have I said that's negative?
You said the story of this game is the lack of offense.
Until,
that's negative.
Well, you didn't let me finish.
The story of the game is Conforto showing no sportsmanship and McNeil hitting a bomb. Upper deck bomb.
I didn't finish my thought. My thought was,
have something to drink, please.
The story of this game, you want this root beer whiskey?
No,
I don't need it anymore.
I don't drink, you know that.
I'm sorry. I apologize for even asking. I feel bad.
No, quite all right.
I was saying the story of this game was their lack of hitting until Jeff McNeil and Ron Coppola barreled them out.
I didn't wait for the until.
No, you were too
didn't
busy.
Didn't see the until coming.
You were too busy getting ready to pounce on me.
You know why I didn't see the until coming?
Because I took a long...
Because it wasn't coming.
That's not true. It was coming, I promise.
I told you, man, it's Positive Thursday. That's why if you think positive things happen. There you go.
Yeah, and you haven't even mentioned the Islanders made a big deal. Brought in Zajac, brought in Kyle Palmieri. Big deal from the New Jersey Devils. Great move by Lou.
Should I reach out to Chris Christie? He's probably in the owner's box watching the game today.
Is he okay with you? I heard he's
Chris
mad
Christie?
At you. I heard he's mad at you.
No.
You became a Yankee fan.
CC's my dog.
Even though you picked the Yankees over the Mets?
He called me about it.
And what did he say?
We had a very terse conversation about it.
Oh!
Yes?
I think I'm above you on Christie's like list right now.
No, that'll never happen.
I think so.
Although I did get disinvited to the Easter barbecue. That did happen. That happened. I'm not going to deny that did happen. I was going to go to the Easter barbecue. Then suddenly, phones weren't answered. Messages weren't returned. Barbecues, I guess, never happened.
This
happened without me.
If you're going to reach out to the governor,
don't
say what you said to me. Don't say...
I already reached out. I go, you want to come on about the Mets win?
Don't say cheap win. Don't do that. Just say, hey, that was a great win. Don't be a jerk about it.
I'll wait for him to come on, and then I'll say, hey, how do you feel about, poor sportsmanship by Conforto?
Poor sportsmanship.
Yeah. That was McNeil's first hit of the year, too, wasn't it?
He started 0-10 when he hit that bomb. He needed that, man. So, and it was a bomb.
Aaron Boone's going to join us in a few minutes, and Luis Rojas is going to join us next hour as well. As the New York Mets, big win they had to have, let's be honest. After the debacle of the series in Philadelphia and the way they came home with the bullpen in question and the offense in question, who's batting where, et cetera, et cetera. and you go into that ninth inning not thinking you're going to pull out a W, and it's going to be a very tough loss considering how well Taiwan pitched. It's a big win for the
Mets.
And
you know what else?
It doesn't matter how they won it. We can have fun laughing about the poor sportsmanship.
Matter.
It doesn't matter.
And you know what
it's
else?
A great win.
I'll tell you something else that's a factor for fans and maybe some of the players. They don't play tomorrow. So if they would have lost this game to drop to 1-3, you are dealing with 36 hours of that hanging over your head. Now you got to win. There's an off day tomorrow. They play Saturday afternoon, and you feel better. It was good for your mental spirit if you're a Mets fan.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Thank you.
I do. You know, Yankees are alone tomorrow, no Mets tomorrow. Yeah, that would have been a tough 36-hour
That's
period.
What I was envisioning.
You're right.
I was thinking of 36 hours and thinking about being 1-3.
You would have been a miserable douche to be with tomorrow.
Yeah, I just would have reminded myself that Kevin Durant plays for my basketball
Although tomorrow
team.
We have a very quick show anyway because the Yanks play at 3, right?
Yeah.
So we're on for like 35 minutes tomorrow.
That's going to be fun.
Plenty of time to go over the... You know, historically poor sportsmanship moves by the likes of Derek Jeter in a playoff game. You may remember when Jeter put himself in harm's way. You remember that?
What are you talking
about?
Poor sportsmanship.
Yeah, that's right.
You've got a weird definition of poor sportsmanship.
Win at any cost. I like it.
Poor
I like it a lot.
Sportsmanship is not shaking someone's hand after a game. Like, if you want to bring up those old controversies from the NBA, that's poor sportsmanship. No. Getting hit by a pitch?
On purpose.
What are you doing?
Leaning into a dead
that's
strike.
That's not poor sportsmanship.
Right down the pike.
That's called, I stink right now. I need to find a way to get on base. How many times I did that in high school baseball? A lot.
Probably your entire career.
Yeah, and I'm proud of it.
Well, listen, they called you Lupus for a reason.
They never called me Lupus. They called me Rico.
They called you Rico Bronya?
That's right.
Is that
couldn't
right?
hit, but I had a glove.
You keep saying you had this glove. I can't wait to see
everyone
it.
Everyone on the team had a glove.
I'll show it to you.
And that's true. Every guy does get a glove. That is true. You get a hat, too.
I'll show you my glove.
You get a hat, too.
Big glove, too.
My son played high school baseball last year, and he's got like bushy, curly hair. And he's really a football player, but he's a good athlete, so they asked him to play baseball. And he goes to the coach, do you have to wear the hat in the field? The coach says, yeah, it's part of the uniform.
Come on.
He goes, I don't like wearing the hat.
What are you, that's a bad move.
No, he wore the hat.
Come on.
But he didn't like wearing the hat.
That's a part of baseball. Of course you got to wear a hat.
Why don't you go put your football helmet on? Make it happen. Yeah, and he played first base, and I think about a third or fourth.
Olerud used to wear the batting helmet.
Yes, he did.
That's a very different situation.
Yes. Yes.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.